Bible says it's a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. Then we see that in other scriptures that he talks about pastor, turning his life to the Lord. And then he gives him some instruction of what to do and how to do. He said in the book of Acts, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." John chapter 1, we see a very unique verse introducing a man to the world. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. His fame came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I'd like to go back and rephrase that scripture just a little bit to accommodate what we're doing here today, and kind of put my own rendition of that. Can we put the TT translation of this verse for just a moment? We'll use it just, all right? You'll have your approval to do that? Listen, there was a couple sent from God. Their name were Carolyn and Willie Weaver. They were not the light, but they were to bear witness of that light. Thank God for Dr. Ms. Weaver. What a blessing they've been to us over these many, many years. We had the great privilege of knowing them and getting acquainted with them. And to Dr. Ms. Weaver, God bless you and all that you've done. Church staff, bless you. Officers, church family, I thank you for doing what you're doing for your pastor during these days, knowing that the 19 years plus that he's worked here, given of himself, as only Dr. Weaver can do. Thank you so much for this great opportunity. What an honor for me. Really an honor. I think one of the greatest honors I've had in all of my life, all of my ministry, is what's happening right here today. And I thank you for that. And we thank you for what all that Dr. Ms. Weaver has done. And we thank you for the honor of just being a part of this great service. And what an honor it is to be in his pulpit to try to share with you what God has laid upon our heart. And thank God for all the things that he's given the Worth Baptist Church, known around this world for who and what you are and what you've done for the cause of Christ and what you've done for missions and what you've done for teaching and training, not only your own immediate people, but people from around this world through the college and through the fellowship and the institute and all the things that have been organized over the few years. Knowing Brother Ms. Weaver as we did, being in Vandalia, Ohio, we was about 50, 60 miles apart, did not realize what was across the Indiana line, what they were doing over there, what we were doing in Ohio. I didn't realize until this morning that he's a born Texan. Now, that's a good start already, isn't it? Isn't that right? Now, Brother Miller's here. He said you were from Louisiana. You was raised there, all right. But he was born in Texas. Brother Miller, wherever you are, you be sure you get that down. He was born in Texas, all right? So we can get that straight. But, you know, we've known him over the years, and what a man, what a family, what a church that he had there in Connersville, and all the things that he's done and been able to do. I had the great privilege of being, he was elected several times as a vice president, of the president of the fellowship, and so forth. And I had the privilege of a couple, 3 years to be elected the vice president. I was his vice, as if you please. And when we met at our state meetings and or the annual meeting, and I had the privilege to introduce him. And what an honor that was when we think of all that was going on. And we had the privilege to introduce him and, of course, to make the introduction that he is the pastor of the Worth Baptist Church. I mean, that's something to not take lightly. But then I had the privilege to say, and not only that, he was the pastor of Dr. Barber. Now, just think of that for just a few moments. Would you do that? What a responsibility. What a duty that was. But he did it well, has he not? Thank the Lord for that. And we think of all that he's done. What a leader. Brother Weaver is a leader. He does it in his own way. But in his leadership capability and character, being led of the Holy Spirit, that great things have happened. But you know, generally great things don't happen except with a man, except there's a great woman behind him, sort of behind the scenes. And God bless you, Ms. Weaver, for your stand and for what you meant to him, what you meant to us, and so forth. A great man always has a great one to stand behind him, and we congratulate you for all that you've done. And what a blessing it's been for us. Several years ago, we were talking, and we've met several times and been to fellowship meetings and traveled a little bit, and we'll not go into all of that, but one time he challenged me to a Sunday school contest, and our church was going pretty good at that time, and so I took the challenge. I said, sure, we can whip those Indiana Hoosiers, or Hoosiers, is that what they were? Yeah. And we can do that. We Buckeyes can do that in Ohio. And so we took the challenge. Well, I'd never realized what a leader he was. And so, sure enough, we went, I don't know how many Sundays. And every time we reported, we was always behind. Always behind. Well, we're going to catch up. We're going to catch up. But guess what? We never caught up. His leadership of the church, and I mean, the Lord was blessing them in a great way. The result of all that, that the loser of the contest had to go and, of course, you know, eat humble pie and congratulate them for what they have done and congratulate them. And so we went over one Sunday night, and he called me up to the platform and started to introduce me. But before he did that, he did something that was kind of rude and crude and all of that. And I just want you to see what he did to me, and I just want to get back at him. And he presented me with this. Can you believe that? Would you humble your one of your best friends as pastor of that? Incidentally, that's supposed to be me down there crying and boohooing and everything. But we lost. I don't know. I think I'm going to give that back to you. We've always had a good time and fellowship. I think of the mission work this church has done and what he's led, not only this church, but also in the other two churches that he was in. We'll never know, folks. We'll never know what the results have been with all of that. How many souls have been saved just here in this church, in Connersville and Roanoke and Harrisburg and all the places that he's been? We'll never know how much that Brother Ms. Weaver have done, Dr. Ms. Weaver has done. Now, I want to give you a little advice right now, and that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to suggest something. Remember this. When they say, Dr. Ms. Weaver, when the Lord says, Dr. Ms. Weaver, I want you to listen. Listen real intently and closely, because that's the only way we're going to know exactly what's been the effect of their ministry and their life and their testimony and who and what they are. What a great couple. What a great family. And we do just thank the Lord for them and all that they've done for us. And there's just so much that we can say. But the whole thing is to do one thing, and we all know that. And that is to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's a good thing when a man has given his life to the Lord. And it's a good thing that we honor those who honor him. And the Bible teaches us to give honor to whom honor is due. And what we're doing, humanly speaking, is rightly so. You and I cannot reward them enough for what they've done. The sacrifices that have been given. The nights, the days that he spent away from his family in the ministry. Being in the hospital, doing its surgery, on the mission field, in revivals, in fellowship meetings. Just going and doing. Not spending time with the children, not spending time with his wife. Not even spending some time with you because of just going for the cause of Christ. What a blessing. What a soldier we have today. But when we think of some things, I want to just share with you. I want to say quickly, but probably that would not be true. I know that there's some things that I really want to just bring to your attention. Turn your Bibles, if you would. This is a Bible-believing church, is it not? Do we have any Bibles here today? Let me see. Any Bibles? Look around. I'll take a picture of that. This is a Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Bible-believing, red-letter edition, King James Baptist Church. Amen? All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I wish I could read the whole chapter and preach from that, but that's not the message today. I want you to look in verse 8 down through verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. God bless you, Brother Weaver and Ms. Weaver, and what an honor, what a privilege. Ephesians chapter 2, this will be the beginning. One of the most favorite verses that we find in the Scripture other than John 3:16. For God so loved the world. No, he didn't say that in this verse. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Listen now, not of works, lest any man should boast. Church membership won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Trying to live a good godly life won't do it. No, no. All your works you do are just as filthy rags, the Bible says. Not of works, lest any man. And that's the reason. Because if we said, man, look what I've done. I mean, Brother Weaver would stand up and say, look what I've done, God. Look what I've done. He said, no, that don't work. And he wouldn't do that. Not of works. Listen, if you're not saved today, don't you try to get saved. Don't you try to do the best you can. You just trust Christ and everything will be taken care of. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to notice verse 10. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I look at that verse and see three basic things. And this is not the message, it's just the introduction. First of all, I want you to notice the workmanship. We are his workmanship. The word workmanship means a lot of things. It means the craftsmanship. It means the handiwork. It means his design, his desire. That you and I have become his workmanship. He's made us the way that he's made us for a reason and for a purpose. Our DNA, be technically and so forth, is so different than anybody else. Because we were made for a specific reason, and that reason is to bring honor and glory. We are his workmanship. And notice in the next phrase, created in Christ Jesus. God made us and created us. You know, we live in Florida now, and I look at all the flowers and the birds and the trees and all the things that are down there. And you have to stand back in amazement and just look at just the plant life and think, my, God had an imagination, did he not? But created it all. We can't do that as we can't save ourselves. But thank the Lord, we're created in Christ Jesus. We're made in him for a reason and for a purpose. Created in Christ Jesus. For what? Unto good works. That's an important thing. For good works. He wants us to do something. I see people that are out in the world doing ungodly things. One created for that. One designed for that. We were designed and created to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll use this phrase time again. He said that if I be lifted up, I'll be able to draw. All men. A-L-L. All men. How and why? Because we have just exalted him and lifted up. Thank God in this church. Through the ministry of this great man, I believe it's been that same thing. Just lifting up Christ. Created unto all good works. And then he said, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. That should be our life. That should be what we want to do. But I want you to turn now in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. And I want you to talk to you about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. I don't know how many things. But anyway, we're going to look at a few things that I just want to leave to your mind when we think of a man that has given his life. And make the application to our own lives. Your own life. Now, sure enough, he was saved. I think got called to preach at 13, I believe. Got saved when you were 5 or 6 or 10 or 12, whatever. But at 13, gave his life to the Lord. If you're 13 years of age, let me tell you, God can deal with you. God can do a work in you. Can you imagine? Starting early, there's some bad seeds you'll not be able to sow, and you won't sow because you stepped out and trusted God. But notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy, just want to talk to you, what is it that God wants us to do? He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. I notice when I'm going to read these next verses, Brother Weaver's heard these verses. Brother Gillett, I don't know if you ordained him or not or anything, but he probably heard this verse. Where is he? There's that guy. I wish I had the hair he's got. But anyway, when we think of what he said here, preach the word. Preach the word. Has that not what our preacher has done? Is that not what our pastor has done? What other message do we have to preach today except the word? The old book. Same old story. But it never gets old, though. It's old, but it doesn't get old. As fresh as the newspaper this morning, really fresher than that. And so he said, just preach the word. Thank the Lord that we have a man that preached the word. Not philosophy, not an idea. Just line upon line and precept upon precept, as we see Moses was instructed to do. And just preach the word. That's all we need to do. Just keep on preaching the word. So he told us to preach the word and nothing but the word. Because we know that so many things are going to take place if we just preach the word. So he said, preach the word. He said, God didn't call me to preach. But you can be a preacher. You can be a testimony. We were arrested this morning and eating, and asked this dear lady, I said, that was cleaning up and did the cooking and so forth in the breakfast area. I said, where do you go to church? And she said, the Baptist church. I said, don't tell me you're a Baptist. You can't be a Baptist. She said, I am too. I'm a Baptist. I was saved and da-da-da-da-da Baptist. I said, we're Baptists also. We're Baptists also. Just trying to be a preacher. Just be, wherever you go, preach. You say, he's been called to preach and come up to stand. Yes, yes, true. My pastor church, yes. But we can be preachers too. Just carrying the word, sharing the word, being a witness. Preach the word. And then, not only that, notice what he said in the verse. And be instant in season. Be consistent. In season and out of season. I wonder how many got up this morning and said, honey, are we going to go to church today? I don't know. Look out and see if it's still raining. It's still raining. Well, we'll just sleep in. That's not being consistent, is it? You know, you ought to make a decision about going to church one time. One time, that's it, for the rest of your life. If it's Sunday, guess what? We're going to Sunday school. We're going to church. Why? Because the preacher's going to be there. Wouldn't we be disappointed if he didn't show up? That's like that dear little man got up in the morning and said, honey, I don't want to go to church today. He said, really? He said, no, why? He said, I just don't feel like it. We said, you got to go. He said, I don't care. I just don't want to go to church. He said, honey, you don't understand. You got to go. He said, I don't want to go. And they fussed a little bit. He said, honey, you must realize you're the pastor. You've got to go. See, so no choice. And that should be our life. We just go to church. We go to work on Monday. Let's go to church on Sunday. And see, without a doubt, be consistent. That's what we need today, don't we? We need the consistency and the lives of Christians. Keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. In good times, bad times, just be consistent. You don't have to wobble on the axle at all. I mean, when the attendance is up, boy, we're excited. When the attendance is down, we're still excited. Be consistent. When the offerings are good, boy, we can rejoice, pay the bills and all that. But when they're bad, we can still go on for the cause of Christ and not waver at all. Keep on keeping on. Be consistent. Be consistent in your life. Then on that, he said, reprove. We don't like the word reprove because it means to express disapproval. I mean, if the preacher gets up to preach and about some things, we see that he says the things that sometimes rub against us in the wrong way. It kind of gets our attention because he got close to where we are. And consequently, we see that he was up and out and us. And he began to express the disapproval. Well, maybe some of the things that we have done. Some of the things we are doing, that's his job. See, he is an inspector. But it really, as he preaches the word becomes the inspector. And so consequently, there's some disapprovals that might come. Then he said, then rebuke means to reprimand sharply. And you know, a good preacher will do that. I mean, just say what's right, right. Just say what the Bible says. You know, sin has always been sin. I don't care what you think. It always will be. The devil's after you. The devil wants you to destroy your life and destroy your future by dealing with the things of the world and the things of immorality and out in the crazy world of all of the things. But God don't want you to be out there. You know, just when the preacher begins to preach, just remember that he's doing it sharply to really get your attention, to get you to turn around. You're the testimony Brother Allen just a while ago. Boy, it's a good thing, and I know Brother Allen rejoices in the Lord, the fact that his life came in contact with this preacher. Changed him around. We were talking this morning. Just literally, and as he said, turned him around completely. All because somebody stayed by the stuff. But notice the next word. He said to exhort. That means urge earnestly. Be an encourager. Be blessed. Every time I've heard Brother Weaver preach, he's always been encouragement. It's always blessed my heart. It's always been just something that I needed, and he didn't know what I needed. Just to be an encourager, to exhort. But then the next three verses, or two verses, verse 3, listen if you would. And he said, well, you need to do those things because for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, folks, we're there right now. If there's ever a time, thank God not in this church, because we know the Bible's been taught and preached. The Bible has been declared. Not what Brother Weaver believes or thinks or that sort. Just preach the Word. Preach the Word. And consequently, we see that the times have come. But I'm glad you're here this morning because you love the Bible. You love the Lord. You love the service of the Lord. You love the church, the body of Christ. All because somebody's taught you and trained you and told you to do those things. So say without a doubt, to exhort and to encourage them. And then the warning that comes in verse 3 and verse 4, that for time will come, will not endure sound doctrine. And notice, and after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. What a tragedy. It's amazing how we have the truth here today. Jesus said, heaven and earth might pass away, but my word will never. You know why? Because it's the word of God. Everybody's trying to destroy it, and more Bibles out today than ever, ever before. Why? Because this is the Word of God. We know that when we look at some of the other writings of people that's come up with different things and so forth, such as the Quran and things of that nature, you know, we know those things are going to pass away. But we're going to stand before the Lord, and guess what? We're going to be judged by this Word. And it'll always be here. And aren't you glad that you've had a preacher and you have a church who stands for the Bible and preaches it as it is to men as they are? But he said, without a doubt, there's a warning. Because they're going to have itching ears. They're going to just start and believe whatever they want to believe. Because they are going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter what the law is. It doesn't matter what the Lord says. It doesn't matter what the book says. We're just going to do our own thing. Our own thing. And you know, when sin becomes good and good becomes sin, when bad becomes good and good becomes bad, you know we're living in the latter days. And you and I know without a doubt we're living in that day today. Today, right now. I mean at any moment. You know, we start looking for the coming. No, we need to start listening for the sound. Because one of these days we're going to hear trumpet and chills are going to come over us. Going to think, oh my soul, what is that? I've never heard that before, but it sounds familiar. I think I know what that is. Trump of God shall sound. And our loved ones that we put in the grave are going to come up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds forever to meet them in the air. That's going to happen, folks, shortly. You know why? Because people are turning their ears to fables. There's so much preaching going on, but very little about the book. Very little about Christ, very little about salvation, very little about hell and eternity, very little about soul winning, very little about taking care of folks. It's all just make me feel good, itching ears. And notice the Bible says, and they've turned them over to fables. What a sad, sad thing that is. And so I want you to just notice, he said in verse 5, now you need to watch. You need to watch. Watch and wait. Notice what he said. But watch thou in all things. Watch thou. We need to be looking. Because it could be at any time. There's a lot of false doctrine going around. But you just keep on looking. There's a lot of contrary things going on concerning the Scripture. But you just keep going on. And without a doubt that we need to be watching. Not only watching, but look at this. And It said, watch thou in all things, and listen, endure in affliction. Endure in affliction. Folks, we don't know what we got in front of us, except the second coming of Christ. But there might be a day and time when you and I have to suffer to assemble like this. They might not allow us to do it, or to teach what we need to teach, and to preach what the preacher needs to preach. You know, I'm kind of glad I'm in my upper years and about ready to ship out of here. You know, not with the second coming, but, you know, the end of life. But, you know, I kind of feel sorry for these young guys. Bless you, brother. You got a battle before you. I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. Endure affliction. Endure affliction. Whatever the devil throws at you, Christian, church member, whatever it is, just endure it. Endure it. Because the Bible gives us a great promise. How many promises in the Bible do you claim? How many? Do you know there are about 30,000 plus? But he said that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not salvation. But God's going to do something as you endure that affliction. And those days could be coming. Just endure. Again, keep on, keeping on. Endure the affliction. It's because we don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what's going to happen. But endure. And this preacher could stand up if he would do it and give some bad times in his ministry. Sometimes when the devil looked like he was winning the battle, the devil's going to overcome. But something happened. God came through. And God is always on time. You know, that when you're in the fire, when his believers are in the fire, when they're experiencing that, you can rest assured God's got his hand on the temperature gauge. He knows just exactly what you can do and what you can endure. But endure affliction. Whatever the devil sends at you, thank God you've got a God who's greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we need to endure. And then we see that there's so many other things that we talk about. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room, somebody came to you and, humanly speaking, won you to the Lord? Somebody came to you and, humanly speaking, won you to the Lord. Let me see your hand. Somebody came to you. Somebody. Look at that. Look at that. The majority. I thank God for an aunt on Saturday morning talked to me about salvation with her daughter, my cousin. And the next Sunday, my cousin went. The Sunday after that, I went forward, a 10-year-old boy. I'm glad my aunt talked to me. And what did you say? Do the work of an evangelist. What are they going to get a tent and go out? No. Go next door. Just go wherever they are. And whoever you are, just talk to them. One of the best things I say, or not the best thing that I do, is just, where do you go to church? Like I did that lady this morning. Where do you go to church? And boy, that just, phew, that opens up everything. I go to be at a couple and talk to them. They say, honey, what's that church we go to? I say, oh, you do, that church? Yeah, she'll say, oh, that church. Who's the pastor? Honey, who's our pastor? I told you everything, didn't I? You know then. And then start leading towards salvation. It's amazing. Just do the work of an evangelist. Thank the Lord for that. And then not only that, make full proof of your ministry. Wow. Full proof. You are his workmanship. He's designed you for a reason, for a purpose. Do the work of that evangelist. And make full, listen, teenager. Make full proof of what God has designed you for and made you for. I mean, he might have made you for a football player. He might have made you for a baseball player. But ultimately, he's made you and have you here to win others to Christ and be a Christian testimony. And you can do that in about any other job you want to think of. You can be a testimony for the cause of Christ. And just keep that in mind, in your heart and in your life. Make full proof of thy ministry. I don't know of a pastor and his wife who fulfills that last phrase there completely. Make full proof of your ministry. I look over the years and every place that Dr. and Ms. Weaver have been, you know, they leave it better than what they found it. Make full proof of your ministry. They made things better. They made things right. And that's what we as Christians ought to be doing. Just wherever we are, make things better. Make things better. You know why? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, for ye are the light of the world. For ye are the salt of the earth. That's what we are. You know what salt does? It's it makes things salty. But it does two things. It makes it. We see that it makes things taste better. If you ever just have something, ooh, man, it has no taste to it. Where's the salt? You put it on that whatever, and it just makes things taste better. Did you know where we are as Christians as salt? If we do our job that we're supposed to do, things will be better. Things will be better. And that's a problem in our country today. We have lost our savor. We have lost our Savior. It seems as though we've lost the ability as churches and Bible-believing churches even. We've lost that ability to be saved, to be salty, to change things, make things better around us. What a shame. You're the salt. Now that we see that salt will be a disinfectant like. That is wrong. That's like a disease or something of that nature. That it will make things not only better, but it'll heal and take care. You are the salt of the earth. That's you and me. You're the light. We see the light directs. The light instructs and guides us. That's what you are here for. That's what we're here for. That's what the weaver's been for here in this church. And without a doubt, that's what we ought to be doing. Then in verse 6, just quickly, he said, for now I'm ready to be offered. When you think of if we do what we ought to do for the cause of Christ, make full proof of our ministry, win the souls that we possibly can, then we're ready. Be ready. Let me ask you this morning, dear friend, are you ready? We don't know when death's coming. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when we're going to find ourselves in a cafe somewhere, and somebody comes with an AK-47 and we're going out into eternity. We never know that car, every time we leave and travel somewhere, I pray a prayer, and not to be repetitious, anything like that. Lord, keep us from cars and cars from us. Lord, keep us from trucks and trucks from us. Just keep us safe. We never know. But it's going to happen one day. We're going to be slip out into to make full proof. Be ready. Paul is saying here, and he knew that in moments' time, they're going to come get him. It'd not be long until his life would be over. And oh, he gave us some very last instructions that were so profound. And he said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. In closing, notice if you would, three things. Three things. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. I mean, when time comes for you and me, can they say to you and me as Christians and the salt of this earth and light of this world that we fought a good fight? We fought a good fight. I think so many times when we think of that, we think of armies coming together. We think of maybe even fighting against the devil and the imps of hell and the things that the devil tempts us with and all. And that's part of it. But you know one of the worst enemies you have? Self. Self at your worst enemy. He talks about the lust of the eye, the lust of this old sin-cursed flesh, and the pride of life. And if we're not careful, one of those three things will get in our way to hurt our testimony. But he said, without a doubt, fight a good fight against self. But not on that, not to fight a good fight, but also finish the course. I'm his workmanship. I'm designed for purpose and reason. Finding that out, knowing that. And then at the end, can we say, I've finished the course. I've accomplished what I feel that God has called me to do. I've finished. There was a time in Brother Ms. Weaver's life that they said, we feel like God is finished. I don't know how many times he and I have talked on the telephone and talked sometimes in person. And just discuss the time of when is it time to say, I've finished the course of pastoring. Not through preaching, not through witnessing, not through, evangelizing. No. Just pastoring. When is it time? And there's a time that comes. I encouraged him sooner than he did it, but who am I? But there is a time. And just simply to finish the course that God has for you. Let me ask you this. Is there a longing somehow in your soul and bosom that there's something you want to do and you'd like to do and for the cause of Christ or maybe in the church and the ministry of the church? Let me tell you, get in. Get in right now. We was talking, working with the restaurants and things that you need, some volunteers on Friday night in the ministry there. You know, there's places everywhere in this church. I mean, just in the nursery. That's a great place to start, you know. And you can just kind of grow up with those people, you know, and see them from babe to, you know, the cradle to the cross or cradle to the grave. Just a place. Are you serving? Are you doing? I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course, Paul said. And then not only this. Notice, I've kept the faith. I just like the old saying, I didn't wobble on the axle. I just kept on. And that's be a challenge to us today. Although, Brother Mills, we were going to be leaving, and it's going to be a great loss for you, but thank God you've got a good man and his dear wife. Now, if I could sing, I'd sing like she did this morning. You know. But to think what you have before you. The sun's not going down. Can I say the sun's kind of coming up? I mean, I can see some bright things already. And I just don't know much about this church. And thank God that you got a man already here, ready to go. Been trained by probably one of the best trainers. You know, he is a professor. He's taught, and he's taught well. Church, you've got, oh my. Listen. Don't you drop out because they're gone. Jesus is still here. The book's still preached. Sunday school lessons are going to be taught. Soul winning is going to be done. Bible schools are going to be held. Camps are going to be held. Revivals are going to be. And just stick with it. And get behind the new pastor that's coming on the scene, already here. What a blessing that is. You know. Finish the faith. Or kept the faith. I finished the course. I fought a good fight. Can you say that about you? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you were to die right this very moment, you'd spend eternity, not in heaven, but in hell. Talking again with that dear lady this morning, she said, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to kick up gold dust. Can you imagine? Well, it's more than that. But if you've never trusted Christ, do you know what's before you? You need to get saved. As Christians, we see in the next verse, without a doubt, something's going to happen. That we're going to receive a reward. Paul said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Think of that. When the battle's over, it's all over with. And it's going to be one day. And we'll stand before him. What a joy when he's going to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, preacher, I'm not much. I'm not either. We don't have to be much. We don't have to be as smart as Brother Weaver. We don't have to have doctors in front of our name. We can just be us. Just be who we are, just like they do. Down to earth people, just loving the Lord. Several years ago in our church, we had a family that was visiting. They visited several times. They were a member of the great Dagon Baptist Temple. Brother Gerald Fleming. How many knew Dr. Fleming? That guy over yonder did. Do you know that guy over yonder from Vandalia? Brother Rigsby. He taught school and principal there in Vandalia, Ohio, where we lived for 37, 38 years. But anyway, I think she used to play the organ, Miss Pope, Dewey Pope. But things were changed at the Dayton Baptist Temple, and they had bought a house close to where we were. Every Wednesday they were there. Every Wednesday they came. Sunday morning, Sunday night, they were there at church. But Wednesday night they were there. I'll be honest with you, I got to the point, man, they're here again. Because every time after Sunday at church, they'd want to talk, ask 1,001 questions. Brother Todd, what about this? I was born and raised in this church. I was born and raised under Dr. a great man of God. Born and raised under his ministry and so forth. And I mean, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, every Wednesday night, everybody be gone. janitor say, "Preacher, I got everything locked up except the front door and the parking lights." I said, "All right, I'll get them when we leave, if I get to leave somewhere tonight." I'm serious. And one night she said something like this: "I hate to leave Dr. Fleming. I love him so much. I love him." And a great preacher, great man of God. Built a great work there at Dayton Baptist Temple. Largest Sunday school in Dayton, Ohio one time. Just seemed like the Lord just said something to me, and get what I'm trying to say. I know I'm not trying to build up nobody but the Lord. And I said, "You know, Brother Miss Pope, I know Dr. Fleming. He's a great guy. Now, if you're looking for Dr. Fleming, then you don't need to join here, because there ain't no Dr. Fleming here. But I tell you what there is. There's a Troy Todd here. And I guarantee you, I'll be able to present to you the best Troy Todd you've ever known in your life." "What are you saying, preacher?" "That's all I have to offer." 2 weeks later, they joined the church. Join the church. You know, that's exactly what people want for you and me. Just be the best person who you are, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a witness for Him until you'll be an effect upon somebody. We need that today, as never before. These dear folks have done it. They've led you. They've been the example. Go thou and do likewise. Do you know Him today as your personal Savior? If you don't, come and trust Him. Only trust Him and He'll save you. He'll write your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when He comes, He'll come back to take you home to be with Him forevermore. Are you serving Him like you ought to? Is there a position that you need to stay? Can you say with Paul, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith"? Are you keeping the faith? Listen, let's don't do a little down dump here until we have the changing of the guards and all that. Let's just keep it up. Keep it going. Keep on keeping on for Him. Would you come? We're going to give just a verse of an invitation, a couple of verses maybe of an invitation. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about something, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to Him be all the honor and the glory and the praise. Let Him use you to the fullest. He'll be a blessing to this preacher, and without a doubt, He'll be a blessing to your new pastor. He'll come on the scene soon. He needs you. His family needs you. Go thou and just be what you can for Christ and bring honor and glory to His name. Let's stand, please, with every head bowed. Father, as we come to You this afternoon or this morning, we thank You, Lord, for every blessing. Lord, I pray You'll take the Word now and apply it to our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, that You'll just continue to honor Brother Ms. Weaver in a very special way. I pray, Lord, that You'll just touch our hearts now. Help us realize that we probably haven't done all that we need to do. Help us, Lord, to realize that there's only one life that will soon be passed. And there's only one thing that's going to last. And that's what we have done for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that's going to last. And we'll be rewarded for what we've done for Christ and Him only. So, Lord, speak to heart. Christians especially, may they come and rededicate themselves right now. It's a new time. It's a new era in the church. It's coming on us. And, Lord, help them just get in, make up the hedge. Just get in the harness and just keep on going for the cause of Christ. Not skip a beat. But those who are unsaved, sure in this crowd, there's folks who are unsaved. Lord, just deal with them. May they come and trust You as your personal Savior. We're going to sing now a word of invitation. Folks will be down here to speak with you, pray with you, whatever need you have. But let me encourage you, just rededicate your life. Church, rededicate your life to honor this preacher here. But rededicate your life to the future of this great church and the new pastor. Just trust Him as we sing. If you need to come, make a decision for Christ, would you do that?